Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Caesarea lies along the northern Mediterranean shore of Israel. This was the site of a famous confrontation. In his conflict with Jewish authorities, Paul the Apostle had appealed to Caesar. This meant facing the Roman governor Felix in ancient Caesarea. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer is in a series on light shining in darkness, how the gospel impacts culture. Turn to Acts chapter 24, where Paul brings the gospel to a Roman governor.
We're so glad that you have joined us today, and we've had a wonderful time of worship. And now it's my privilege to preach the Word of God. And I pray that the blessed Holy Spirit of God, who's been poured out upon the church, might be with us in a tremendously powerful way. You listen to the voice of the Spirit. Today I'm going to speak to you about the role of conscience. All of us have a conscience. Even if you were born into a home with no special boundaries, you have a conscience. If you were born into a home that had special boundaries and was more strict, your conscience might be more strict. But this I do know, that all of us have a conscience. And the question is, how do we violate it? And are there times when we know right well what is right and good, and we do the opposite? Well, in order to illustrate this, I'd like to speak today about a man who was a governor. Now, we here in the state of Illinois, we know that our governor some time ago was arrested. He was not expecting it, evidently, at 6 o'clock in the morning. And do you remember when the feds called him, he thought it was something else and thought it was a joke. Well, I don't know if I should say this or not, because we certainly do pray for our governor and for his wife, but I need to say that it was December and it was so cold. I don't know if you remember how cold it was, but evidently it was so cold that 2 weeks before he was arrested, he was actually found with his hands in his own pockets. It gets cold in Chicago, doesn't it? I won't say that again for the rest of you. But here we have the story of a governor who was confronted by the truth. The story is recorded for us in the 24th chapter of the book of Acts, and I want you to turn to it, please. If you remember in context, the Apostle Paul was arrested for causing a riot in Jerusalem. Now, he didn't actually cause that riot in Jerusalem, but he was accused of it. And that happens to be in the preceding chapter. And he is escorted from Jerusalem at night to Caesarea. And the reason is because he appealed to Caesar. He said that he was a Roman citizen. So the Jews that were there in Jerusalem didn't want to deal with the issue. They said, what we want you to do is to go to Caesarea, where they would meet the governor, Felix. And that's the story, and that's the background of our text today. Now, you'll notice that when the Apostle Paul gets there, he is accused of a various number of things. That's in chapter 24 of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 24, because a delegation goes down from Jerusalem to Caesarea. We're talking 50 or 60 miles. And this delegation goes before the governor with the hope of accusing the Apostle Paul and making sure that he stays in prison. And you'll notice that they hire someone by the name of Tertullius. That's in chapter 24, verse 1. As spokesman, one Tertullus. And he was to lay before the governor their case. I'm amused there in verse 2. Where it says, since through you, he's speaking to Felix, chapter 24 of Acts, verse 2, through you we enjoy much peace, and since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation in every way and everywhere, we accept this with all gratitude. Actually, I need to tell you that Felix was a very evil person. He was a person who actually hired robbers to crucify people he didn't like. But this man is flattering him and saying nice things about him, and now he makes three accusations against the Apostle Paul. And if you failed to bring your Bible with you today, we're on page 933 of the Bible that is there in your seats. You'll notice he says in verse 5, "For we have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world." This charge was a political charge. If there's anything that Rome didn't like people who stirred up riots. Now, was it true? No, it wasn't true. Paul didn't begin a riot in Jerusalem by any stretch of the imagination. His presence there sparked a riot because people detested him and they began to riot when he came into the temple area, but he did not begin any riot in Jerusalem. But nonetheless, they accuse him of it. The second charge against Paul is a religious one. You'll notice it says that he also is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. That was spoken with contempt. You remember, Jesus was born in Nazareth. Jesus was born in Nazareth, and therefore he was called a Nazarene. And Nazareth was the wrong side of the tracks. If you were a Nazarene, that was an insult to be called one. So when he says that he's a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes, that's a religious charge that is intended to elicit within Felix contempt. And then there's a third charge, that he tried to profane the temple. That would be a ceremonial charge. None of these were true. But they were presented because they did not like Paul and they did not like the gospel that the Apostle Paul was proclaiming. And you'll notice that Christianity, you remember the series of this message? The title of the series is Light in a Dark Place, because Christianity always bumps up against the culture. And the culture, not liking the message of Christianity, rejects it, marginalizes it, intends to shut the mouths of people. And this is happening today here in the United States of America. Yesterday on the internet, there was this headline: Florida principal, athletic director could go to jail for prayer before lunch at school. And then the article reads, a principal and an athletic director in Florida could be charged with crimes and spend 6 months in jail after they prayed before a meal at a school event. The Washington Times reported. Expect more of those kinds of headlines in the future. That's a whole separate story, but simply know that Christianity always bumps up against its culture. Light always dissipates darkness, but people prefer darkness, and so what they try to do is to make sure that Christians keep their mouths shut. And that's what they were doing here to the Apostle Paul. All right, all that to say this. Paul is given the opportunity of making a defense. You can read it there on your own, because I'm interested in this man, this governor by the name of Felix. You'll notice that the Apostle Paul speaks, and then it says in verse 22, but Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, namely the delegation that came from Jerusalem to Caesarea to accuse Paul. Let's stop their saying for a moment. Felix has a rather accurate knowledge of the way. Now, how does Felix have this knowledge of the way? Actually, the way was an expression in New Testament times for Christianity. We encountered it earlier in the book of Acts where it talked about the way. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So Christianity was tagged as the way. And Felix has a rather accurate knowledge of the way. Where did he get it from? Well, I think that he was exposed to the truth. Maybe he had his own sources. But another possibility is he got it through his wife, who perhaps knew a great more deal about Christianity than he did. So let's read the next verses, and then I'll explain to you exactly why I said that. You'll notice it says, He said to the Jews, when Lysias, the tribune, comes, that's a messenger, a political messenger, I will decide your case. Then he gave orders to the centurion that he would be kept in custody, but some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. In other words, he knew Paul was innocent. So what he did is, though, he didn't release him. He put him in jail and custody and said, but let his friends come. Give him a great deal of freedom. And I'm sure that Paul appreciated that. After some days, verse 24, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who is Jewish, and he sent for Paul. Stop right there. Who in the world is this woman whose name is Drusilla? Drusilla had been married to the king of Syria, one of Syria's kings in those days. She was married off by her brother at the ripe age of 14, and she became this man's wife. Now, evidently, she was a very beautiful woman. As a matter of fact, the record states that she was more fair, more beautiful than all the other women. So what happens is Felix sees her, is attracted to her, and so he lures her away from her husband and encourages her to marry him, and she will be his third wife. And she marries him at the age of 16. This information comes to us from Josephus, who gave us a great deal of history to fill in the gaps. But who was Drusilla? She was a part of the Herod family. The Herod family, and when you stop to think of it, they were all cruel rulers. There are six Herods in the New Testament, and sometimes when you're reading, it's difficult to keep them straight. You almost need a Bible dictionary to know who the players are.
But you know, even though we may not always know who the players are, the simple fact is that the Bible is a very straightforward book. And one of the things that it indicates is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone who has written to us and says, I'm married, I have some children. When I heard you preach the word of God, I broke down and confessed to my wife that I had previously committed adultery. Thankfully, she chose to forgive me. And now, a year after the confession, by the grace of God, our marriage is saved and getting stronger every day. I want to thank the many of you who help us here at the Ministry of Running to Win. Would you consider becoming an endurance partner? That's someone who stands with us regularly with their prayers and their gifts. Of course, the amount that you give is entirely your decision. Here's what you do very quickly. Go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button or call us at 1-800-215-5001.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing The Light Shines on a Governor, another message in a series on light shining in darkness. Next time on Running to Win, more about the man Paul was facing, as well as his wife, Drusilla. Light Shining in Darkness, 8 messages on CD, can be yours as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.